Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 225, From Dough to Slice with Idra Flaxa. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the episode all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun. You know what sounds really good to me right now? Like I'm just craving it. A big piece of crusty, crispy, yeasty dough smothered with a rich and layered and tangy tomato sauce, bubbly cheese that's just getting brown in all the right spots, maybe some sliced tomato or perhaps black olives or heck, even pineapple. Yeah, I am in the mood for pizza big time. And that's what happens when you just get off a conversation with the host of the What's Good Dough podcast, Mr. Idra Flaxa. He's on the show in a few minutes. We're going to talk about home cooking and pizza. He's going to bring all sorts of tips to help us turn out better pies at home. We're going to get to that in a moment. Before we do, a little bit of housekeeping. First and foremost, the show notes for this episode will be over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/225. Again, that's kitchencounterpodcast.com/225. That will get you to the show notes. Just throw that into your favorite web browser. It'll take you there. What are in the show notes, you ask? Great question. We're going to have links to Idriff and his podcast, What's Good Dough, in there. Some links to some pizza making accessories, recipes from his blog, things like that. So anything we mention that's kind of linkable in this episode, I'll put over in the show notes so you can find them and you don't have to worry about writing them down as you're listening. If you want to get a hold of me directly, you can send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Also, I should mention in that show notes page will be links to my social media. You can go check that stuff out there, though I mention it all the time. I'm not a huge social media presence. So apologies in advance, but I'm there. I'm lurking. If you send me a message on any of the platforms or email me, I will get back to you. Also, I want to mention that this show, the Kitchen Counter Podcast, is part of the Nitty Grits Network, which is a fantastic podcast network out of the Southern Food and Beverage Museum down there in New Orleans, Louisiana. If you want to learn more about the museum, any of the podcasts on the Nitty Grits Network, you can head over to southernfood.org and check it out there. There's a new podcast they just added called Must or Mash, and that's a podcast that asks the very important question, which is best, wine or beer? Go check that out down at southernfood.org, Must or Mash, along with all the other great podcasts that are on the network, including yours truly. Let me see, what else do I need to talk about before I get into the conversation with Idriff? I think I'm going to keep it short and sweet today because I want to get right into this. So in this chat with Idriff, we talk all sorts of different things about pizza. And, you know, I'm being a little bit selfish. I asked him a lot of questions related to issues that I have when I try to make a homemade pizza pie. And honestly, a lot of that for me has to do with the crust itself, not so much the dough, although we do talk about that a bit here in this episode as well. But really, how do you get a good crust on your pizza? You know, oftentimes when I cook a pizza homemade, I just, you know, it's delicious and it's fine, but the crust just doesn't live up to the expectations I have in my own head about what a really wonderful crispy, I like my crust crispy anyway, what a wonderful crispy pizza crust needs to be. It doesn't quite have the color, it's a little pale. And a lot of that just has to do with the equipment that we're working with as home cooks, particularly if we don't have a dedicated pizza oven or something like that at home, which I'm guessing some of us don't. Maybe the vast majority of us don't. So we're going to get into some tips and tricks on how to overcome that, along with some just other general conversation about pizzas at home. I think you're going to enjoy it. Now, Idriff's podcast is called What's Good Dough, and that's over at whatsgooddough.com. Again, I'll put that in the show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/225, so you can find links to his podcast, his Instagram, and some other stuff there as well. Idris, very passionate about pizza. If you're a pizza person, you really do owe it to yourself to check out his podcast. He doesn't just talk about making pizza, although he does do that. He interviews some really cool folks in the pizza and pizza adjacent industries. He talks to pizzeria owners, people who are aspiring to get into that business, all sorts of cool stuff. So go check out whatsgooddough.com to get Idris's podcast. But in the meantime, grab your favorite slice of pie, settle down, your beverage of choice, and let's have a conversation from dough to slice with Idris Laxa. Idris, thank you so much for coming on the show. Good to talk to you, man.
Thank you for having me, Roger. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So we're going to talk pizza today. And, you know, I was thinking back and kind of looking back through all the episodes I've done. I don't think I've actually done a dedicated pizza episode yet, which is shocking, kind of, because, I mean, as far as food goes, pizza's like king of the hill, right? As far as what people like to eat, I think. You probably think that too, because you got a cool pizza-related podcast. But yeah, I haven't done like a dedicated pizza episode, and you reach out to me and you're like, hey, I've got this pizza podcast. I want to come on your show. Maybe let's talk home cooking and pizza. And I thought, yeah, let's do this. I think that's a great idea. So that's what we're going to do. Are you ready for this?
I'm here to spread the word of pizza. Let's do it.
All right. All right. We're going to be spreading the word of pizza. I like it. And let's talk about your podcast real quick, if we could, just to set it up a little bit. It's called What's Good Dough.
Yes, sir.
And I like your show because it's not just like here's how you make pizza, because I imagine you could have a lot of episodes on that topic, but you cover everything from entrepreneurship to the side hustle to starting a pizza business to talking to people in the pizza business to cooking pizza. I mean, you really do cover, I was going to say soup to nuts. I don't know what the equivalent metaphor for the pizza world is, but you really do cover like dough to slice, right?
Yeah, let's go with that one. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I mean, for the most part, the pizza world is so big, and if you kind of look at the micro communities on Instagram, that's generally who I'm talking to, are the people in the pizza community. And for the most part, everyone has a story. Everyone does something cool in pizza, whether you're just making pizza at home as an Instagram influencer or trying to be one, all the way to like the top pros. And I'm talking like, if you're a pizza nerd or just know a little bit about pizza, there's this guy named Tony Gemignani, pizza goat. I'm talking like dough throwing champion, owns a bunch of restaurants, can do a bunch of styles. So from those guys all the way down to your home pizza maker, we talk to him because my philosophy is that you can learn from everyone, and everyone has a story to share.
Definitely a great podcast. I know you're on all the main podcast platforms. And what's your website address real quick? Well, I'll put this in the show notes too, but let's just toss it out there.
Yeah, whatsgooddough.com. Whatsgooddough.com.
You're going to spread the pizza gospel a little bit today. And I was chatting with you. I'll lay out my problem with homemade pizzas. And maybe problem is a pretty harsh word, but I'm suspecting it's probably a similar issue that a lot of home cooks have. And that, and we'll talk a little bit about dough. Dough is kind of its own beast, right? Dough is kind of an integral part to any pizza. But yeah, even assuming you got like a really good dough down pat, I feel like the typical home kitchen, at least in the United States, like we're not really equipped to bake a good pizza at home. If you just put together a dough, throw together a pizza, some toppings, some sauce, and throw it in your oven, you're probably going to be disappointed in the outcome. I mean, pizza's good, right? You know what I mean? Even a bad slice of pizza is good, right? In a way.
100% agree.
Yeah. But, you know, you cook pizza at home, and at least my problem is it just never quite bakes up right. So I'm hoping we can talk a little bit about that, maybe some tricks of the trade. I know there's specialized equipment you can get as well for cooking pizza at home. We'll talk about that. But I kind of want to center it around, I'm just your average home cook. I don't make pizza every day. You know, maybe a couple times a month, maybe once a month, I'm like, I'm going to get in the pizza and make some kitchen and make some homemade pizza. How can I up my chances for success? That sound good to you?
Sounds good to me.
Let me get the elephant in the room out of the way, because some of my listeners I know have these, and I know you talk about it on your show, but I mentioned what a typical home kitchen already has equipment-wise, but there is specialized equipment you can get if you want to make a lot of pizzas at home. And I know there's probably several brands, but the main one I've heard of is Ooni, O-O-N-I. They make pizza ovens, right? They're like tabletop type looking models, right? They're small one pizza deals, as I understand it. Maybe they make bigger ones. But I understand that these are available and they probably make pretty good pizza. Do you have anything you want to say about those just kind of right out of the gate?
I think that my pizza has definitely improved with my Ooni oven, Ooni ovens, and they come in a variety of different sizes and fuel options. They just came out with an electric model so that even if you can't do gas or wood from your backyard or your apartment patio, you can now make pizza through their high heat ovens. And the real key word there is high heat, because a lot of the styles that you want to make pizza at, or at least the heat that your pizzeria is using, is upwards of around 590 at the very bare minimum, all the way up to like 900 degrees. And I think you were kind of alluding to this, but like your home pizza oven can't really get to, or just your home conventional oven can't really get there. And there are styles that you can do for the home oven, but you know, before we get into that, I would definitely advocate, if you can swing the budget, because they are kind of pricey, you can get an Ooni oven for like $400 on sale, all the way up to $1,000. But if you can swing the oven price and you have a place for it, I definitely think that if you want to make pizza every Friday night, or if you just have an interest in cooking really good pizza and want to level up your home pizza making, getting an Ooni is a great call.
Is the Ooni a unitasker, or can it do other things? I mean, I'm assuming it's probably like a really like a high heat salamander almost, where you can like crisp things up or melt things in it. Or what other things do you do with an Ooni at home if it's not pizza?
You can, like you said, crisp things up, like in terms of getting a hot sear on a steak. Oh, perfect, right? You just preheat your cast iron and then you plop down a couple steaks and just let that cook real well, and you avoid getting a bunch of smoke in your house because you're cooking outdoors. But you can also roast vegetables. I've even seen people like bake desserts on it. And the thing with the Ooni is that even though they look like high heat beasts, if you can figure out how to hack it a little bit, there's an ultra low setting on there and you'll be able to cook at like a temperature that's manageable. What a lot of people will do is they'll crank it super high, get the oven saturated, and then they'll just use the residual heat and turn on the oven light as needed. So that it's not like, bam, flame hitting your food all the time, but you're just like playing with it. And so is it the most ideal thing to cook bread with? No. Can you? Absolutely.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so we've got the specialized equipment, Ooni being one of them, and they can get hot. I don't know if you mentioned it, but I think they can get up to like 700, 800, 900 inside of those little bad boys, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, like your conventional home oven, like 450, you're probably pushing it. You probably aren't going to be, you know, maybe 500, but, you know, 450 is probably about as hot as you're going to want to go in your typical home oven, right? So you're already hundreds of degrees Fahrenheit below, probably where you need to be for just really good, crispy, crunchy pizza crust that you're used to getting from like your local pizzeria, right?
Right.
So we don't have that, but I still want to get as close as I can. I probably can't quite get there, but I still want to get as close as I can to that type of a crust at home. So if I've got your standard equipment, I don't have any pizza-centric things yet. We'll talk about that, like pizza stones or steels or whatever. But if I don't have any of that, what would you do? Like, let's say you're over at a friend's house, and you're like, hey, Joe, I'm going to make you a pizza. I know you don't have any pizza stuff here, but I'm going to make you a killer pizza. How would you do it?
So, assuming this is just a regular old household, I would definitely, one, try to figure out how hot my oven gets. And yeah, you're right. Some ovens will only go up to 450. My last apartment, I was lucky to get it up to 500. The house that I'm in now goes to 550. And so crank your oven up as hot as you can and really let the heat saturate in there. And if you can do that, you'll find that certain parts of the oven will get a little bit hotter than the temperature that you're preheating to. So that's step one. And I would recommend cranking it up to the temperature that you want and letting that heat saturate for 1 whole hour. I know it's a little extra, but trust me, it'll be worth it. Now, when you are planning to cook a pizza, you got to remember that your oven grates are not good. They're not great for pizza. Damn it, I missed an opportunity there. Your oven grates are not great for pizza. And so you're going to need a platform, right? And depending on the style of pizza you're cooking, if you're at a friend's house, if I'm at a friend's house and I'm looking inside the cabinets, I'm probably going to see a cookie tray or a cast iron pot, pan. And what I would do, depending on the style, is one, I would either put the cast iron pan in the oven and let that thing preheat. And if you're going to do that, you're thinking, I'm probably going to try to launch this pizza into that cast iron pan. Not the easiest thing in the world to do, but it's doable. The alternative would be to do like a grandma style pizza or like a sheet pan pizza, something that, you know, an Italian nonna would do, where she would just make the dough and press it out on Sunday and kind of put whatever toppings are in the fridge with that Sunday sauce and bake it that way. And at the end of the day, you're still going to want a hot oven, but at least it's you have something for the pizza to go on.
Okay, let's talk about cast iron for a minute, because I've tried this once, because somebody said if you're going to do pizza at home, one good way to get that super high heat or to approximate it is to get your cast iron, just like you described it, get your cast iron skillet, for example, ripping hot as you can get it in your oven, and then somehow get your pizza dough in there, and then like, right, and it's, you know, it's like melting your skin off as you're trying to put the pizza dough in, and, you know, it wasn't easy. And actually, I tried it once, and I burnt the bottom of my pizza crust. I guess I had it too hot. I don't know what I did, but I need to try it again, because I do think there's some merit in that approach. Maybe, I don't know. I think the key is figuring out how to get the dough into the cast iron skillet.
Yeah.
That's like half the battle if it's hot. And I know you don't want to do it cold and put it in, because then that's not going to probably work. So yeah. What are your thoughts on cast iron then, specifically, if you have any? I'm curious.
Yeah, so two things. I think one, you can try to launch it in there, and if you land it, great. The thing is, if you're going to do it that way, you're going to have to find a way to really get that top part of your pizza brown. Because for the most part, that cast iron is emitting heat from the bottom and around the perimeter. And so using some sort of broiler is an option, where I think the best thing to do is, if your cast iron is piping hot, 500 or 550, what you could do is launch the pizza in there and then switch to the broiler right away. And that way the gas isn't coming from the bottom and reheating the cast iron pan as much, but instead you're going to get heat from the top. If you don't have a broiler, what you could do is you can press out your dough, launch that bottom part, try to dock it first so that it doesn't like bubble up. Mm-hmm. And by dock it, I mean like either press it down with a fork and kind of stab it a little bit. There's an actual docking tool that you could get on Amazon for fairly something like $10. And then you can cook one side of it and then take it out with some tongs, turn it around, top that bottom side up with some toppings, and then launch it back in so the pale side would go down.
Okay, so you're actually like pre-baking the dough for half the time and then flipping it. Oh, interesting.
Exactly. So you could do that. And I honestly think that's a great method for home bakers, because at the end of the day, you can eat pale pizza. It'll still taste good, like what you were saying earlier. But you want that thing as close to golden brown or even a little charred, because that's where the flavor's at.
So I just have to ask, when you say launch the pizza, I'm envisioning like you've got your pizza on a sheet and you're literally like, you know what I mean? Like I'm acting this out. Nobody can see this, obviously, but you're shooting the pan forward and I don't know, you've got some cornmeal on there or something, like your pizza's sliding off into the pan. Is that what you mean by launch? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Generally, I would recommend getting a pizza peel, but yes.
Okay, pizza peel. Yes, yes.
You can absolutely use like some Reynolds paper, or you can get creative. If you happen to have like a cookie sheet and a cast iron, you can use the cookie sheet, the bottom side of it, turn it around and kind of launch it from there. There's still that edge you got to worry about, but I've seen people do it where they just kind of shake it around. It's not going to come out round, but you know what? It's still going to taste like pizza.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I actually have a rimless cookie sheet that works pretty good for this. But now you've just made me think of something else. What about parchment paper?
Yeah.
Parchment paper inhibit, like if you form your dough, you're round on some parchment paper, because then you can like move it around, no problem. You can slide it wherever you want.
Yeah.
And you know, you can even like pull the parchment. You can get a little more fancy, I think. Do you ever use parchment paper with your pizza, or does that just seem like a little much?
No, I think that's what I was referring to with the Reynolds paper. I couldn't think of the name. Parchment paper will prevent your dough from sticking. And so you can definitely just bake it on the parchment paper. You can carry the parchment paper, place it softly on the cast iron, and it should work well.
Let's talk about now if we have a few pizza accessories. So we've gone over, like, I just have a conventional oven. We've already talked about the uni. I've talked about I don't have any, like, cast iron or a cookie sheet. That's kind of where we're at right now, okay? But I have a pizza stone in my garage on my you know, kitchen rack out there. I've got, somebody got me for Christmas, it's like a metal sheet, and it's full of holes, and it's supposed to make your pizza crisp. I've got several varieties of pizza items, and I'll be 100% honest with you, I don't use a lot of them, just because I've got them all, and it's like, I don't know, pizza stone, what do you, if I had to invest in one of those types of things, what would you go for?
Yeah, assuming we're not investing in a high heat oven, and we want to just use our home oven, what can we do to really upgrade that bad boy, tune it up, and get it as piping hot as possible? My answer would be a baking steel. And there are a lot of companies that do it, but essentially it's just a steel plate that is food safe. And you think of this as like not only a platform for your pizza to go on, but it's a battery, right? A pizza stone, a baking steel, basically is a battery. And what's happening is it's charging up a bunch of heat, and it's accumulating heat so that when your pizza lands on that surface, boom, that heat is going to transfer to your pizza. It's going to start cooking, crisping it up, and making it rise. And a steel is a great conductor of energy, and it can get hotter than a stone generally. And so to improve your oven temperatures or get it higher, the baking steel is the way to go. And if you have a little bit more disposable income, right, and the baking steels are around $100, if you can get two of them, that would be ideal. Because what ends up happening is that if you have one baking steel at the very bottom of your racks of your oven, and then you have another baking steel slightly above it, what's happening is that a lot of hot air is getting trapped in between those two baking steels, causing an even hotter surface or area for your pizza to cook. And yeah, I would definitely say get two baking steels if you can.
So is a baking steel, is it round? Is it square shaped? How thick is it? I'm just curious, like how substantial is your typical baking steel for pizza?
So they come in different shapes and sizes and thicknesses. Generally, you'll want as thick as you can afford and as big as you can afford, because they come in like 13 or 14 inches. Okay. And that's usually enough in terms of like size or cooking, so that it's comfortable.
And these are round, like a 13 inch round, or
they can be square or round. For the most part, I I think that squares are a little bit more popular, or even rectangular.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more popular, but in terms of like thickness, if you can go for a half inch, go for that, because what you'll find is that you can cook pizzas back to back to back, depending on how thick it is. But the thinner it is, if you cook a pizza, you may need to wait a little bit longer to recharge that battery.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a pizza steel, so I'll have to look into that. And that also, I'm guessing you could use it for other things as well. I don't know, baking bread, perhaps, or I'm not sure. Do you use a pizza steel for anything besides pizza, or a baking steel?
You know, I use it to just regulate my oven temperatures. I'll leave it in there long term. And what I find is that when you open your oven, it'll just let out a bunch of hot air. And what that pizza steel does is it kind of helps regulate the temperature a bit so that your oven isn't working as hard. So at the very least, it's helping keep your oven a little bit more efficient.
Interesting. So do you leave it in your oven typically when you're cooking other stuff, and it just sort of
stays there? At the end of the day, these things are about like 25 to 35 pounds, I believe.
Yeah, and they're not light, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're not easy to move around. And so just leaving it in there is actually beneficial just for your oven and for maybe your back, your lower back.
And then pizza stones, I mean, I assume they're basically the same concept. They're probably just not as efficient as holding and building heat as a steel slab would be. They probably don't conduct heat quite as well, although they're probably better than nothing.
They are much better than nothing. I used pizza stones for a number of years, and I've been very happy with them. The problem with pizza stones is they're very fragile.
Yes.
So yeah. I've broken at least one, maybe two, but the pizza steel that I have is indestructible. And it's, you know, like people are so proud to be able to say, I handed down my cast iron from generation to generation. Well, my kid's going to have a pizza steel, and their kid's going to have a pizza steel. So. Right.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. Any word on, so we've talked about a lot about baking. And so I think what I'm taking away from this conversation then is that if I'm not going to invest in an uni, which I probably am not right now, maybe someday, that would be obviously ideal if I'm going to make pizzas. Second best thing is probably get a pizza steel for my oven and go that route. So I'm going to put that on my list. I'm going to look into that. Now, let's maybe talk about, should we talk about dough for a second?
Can I add one more thing about the pizza steel before we go on there?
Please do.
Just because I care about you and your listeners, and I appreciated the truth and the commentary when you reviewed the Momofuku noodles. I was like, damn it, he's just so real right now. recommending people get the Asha noodles versus paying $13.
It's the same noodles. It's the same noodles.
Dude, I have
the
like
flavor pack's the same too, but I didn't want to say that, to be honest with you. I mean, they're the same noodles. And they're like $4 cheaper, so I'm sorry. Don't get me
started. I have five.
I love David Chang, don't get me wrong, and he's great, but
I have five of them in the cupboard, and I'm going to look at them again and be like, okay.
Which five these. Momofukos or?
The Ashas.
They're good.
Yeah. Anyway. They're for emergency. And so, yeah. So yes, I would recommend that folks check out eBay or their local steel manufacturer and look for, you can even put pizza steel. And there are people who just cut these pieces of steel up, and they will, you know, cut it to your dimension. They'll cut it to your thickness. And oh my gosh, it is like half the price of the branded ones. And they work just as well. But you'll be twice as happy because you saved a bunch of dollars.
That's awesome. That's really good. I mean, it's a hunk of steel at the end of the day, right? So that's really good. That's really good advice, actually. Yeah, you don't need an engraved corner to make your pizzas taste better. I get you. I got you. okay, cool. Okay, so let's talk about dough for a second. Now, we don't have to get totally nuts and, you know, go deep into making dough, but I think you had a suggestion that we were chatting or we were emailing, and I think you had a suggestion for dough for home cooks or a technique anyway that makes sense to me. So why don't you talk about that? Because I think you talked in regards to like you're generally not cooking at a higher temperature, but maybe a longer time, and that can affect your dough and how it comes out of the oven, right? So what do you have to say about that?
Generally, if you're making your own dough and you're cooking at a home oven, you have to look at a dough recipe that has more water content. When you think about baking, it's essentially the process of removing water. And because you're removing water at a longer period of time, because your oven is not as hot, you need more water to start with. And so what I recommend, and I can probably link Roger with my dough recipe on my website, but you want to start with a dough that can handle 70% hydration. And without getting too complicated, because numbers are very hard to describe over audio, it just means that you have 70% of your dough ball is has water in it. No, that's not even a great explanation. Of the flour that you have, 70% of it is hydrated with water. And so I'll break that down even further on a blog post, because it's not very easy to do over audio. But for the most part, just a quick thing to remember is look for a high hydration dough. And that'll help make a crispier pizza that is tender and not dried out. Because at the end of the day, your dough is the base. It's the foundation. You can have a great pizza, but you know, if it has a terrible dough, you're gonna remember it forever. But if it has a solid, if it has a solid crust and you had some good dough on it, you can just appreciate it with like sauce and cheese, and you're gonna be like, whoa, this is amazing.
So you got to put a little more work into the dough to get a better product. You can go the easy route, and like you said, it'll be passable. It'll be not the worst pizza you've ever eaten. But if you want to kick it up a notch, work on the dough a little bit. So I'm curious now. I just have a couple questions for you pizza-wise. Just pizza talk. And I was going to ask you this at the beginning of the recording, but I forgot. Where do you stand on pineapple on your pizza?
Man, where do you stand on pineapple? No, I'm just kidding. I'm a guest in your house. Like, I don't want to disrespect the host.
Listen, people get passionate about this. I don't get passionate about it. I'm fine with it. I'm like, hey, dude, if you want pineapple on pizza, I've seen weirder things on pizza. Go nuts for pineapple.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. It's not bad. I mean, it's not like something I crave, but I don't think it's like sacrilegious or anything like that. I mean, yeah. Now I need your answer. You can't just like nod and say a good answer, Roger.
Next question, please. Next question, please.
I know there's probably pizza aficionados are listening, and they're like, "This answer will determine whether I go listen to Ider's podcast or not."
you're going to see a huge dip in listenership just right now. I am a fan. I love pineapple. And let me say before you drop off this podcast, that pineapple can be elevated. Pineapple is used to counterbalance salty and heat. When you have something sweet and kind of acidic, right, that helps provide balance. Now, you can get balance from other things, obviously, but pineapple, come on. I mean, it's sweet. You can caramelize it. It goes great with jalapenos and pepperoni.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I mean, pork and pineapple is a classic, like ham and pineapple, whatever. It's a classic, right? Like, and it really, bacon and pineapple, the pepperoni and pineapple, I think it's a great combo. And so you throw a little cheese and tomato sauce on there. Big deal. I think it sounds good. Deal. It's good. It works for me. What's your favorite, maybe it's Hawaiian pizza, I don't know, but what's your favorite pizza? If you're going to go, if it's your last pizza meal and you're like, dang it, what am I going to get?
Dang it. Pepperoni pizza with a side of ranch.
Oh, you're going just basic pepperoni pizza, side of ranch, nothing fancy. I like it.
That's what I grew up on.
Now, is this a pizza you make, or are you getting it somewhere?
That's a great question. And you know what? I'm not too picky. I feel like if I'm dying, bleeding out, and there just happens to be a pineapple pizza.
I knew it.
The secret's out. Yeah, secret's out. Gosh.
Can't stop talking about pineapple pizza now.
If, you know, a pepperoni pizza just happens to be there, I'm not going to ask any questions. It's going to fill me up in the right way, and then I can pass on to the next life.
I don't know. They don't have them around here anymore, but they used to have old Chicago restaurants. Have you ever been to an old Chicago?
Yeah.
It's like a chain, you know, but I think it's like, there's a couple of pizza chains. I'm trying to think of the name. Yeah. Like maybe Uno is one of them. If that rings a bell, Chicago style pizza. Anyway,
yeah, I was going to say, it's not Chicago.
Yeah. They have this, I don't even know if they exist anymore, these restaurants, but anyway, they used to have this pizza called the double decaroni. And it wasn't a deep dish pizza per se, but it was almost, but it was like two pepperoni pizzas, like on one crust. So good. Not good for you, but like, you know, it was just like, man.
Good clarification.
It just hit the spot.
There's just something about how.
Let's put two pizzas on top of one another. And that's like genius move, I think.
There's some guy who is going wild on Instagram. I want to say it's like East Village Pizza, but he's doing something like that where he like, you like lift a part of the pizza up and then it's another pizza on there. And it's like, oh my gosh. But yeah, I can't imagine eating that every day. And I mean, there are seasons in my life where I'm eating pizza every day. And yeah, eating a double decker pizza is not going to be good for me. I'd eat it though.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, yeah. We'd have to
get that straight.
That goes without question. But, what haven't we talked about, Idriff, that we need to talk about pizza, home cooking pizza? I feel like we've covered a pretty good circle of what you need to worry about. I think you mentioned at one point the toppings and making sure the toppings get done. I mean, we focused a lot on the crust and getting the crust crispy and done, and that's important, but you can't neglect your toppings, right? You need a little color and a little, you know, you want your pizza cheese to get bubbly and brown too. Don't neglect that, I guess.
Yeah. The thing, again, working in a home oven, and just, I think when it comes to pizza, it's really about finding your balance, and you define that balance. I recommend just writing it down and saying, this is the pizza that I'm striving for. Cause it's easy to get distracted. But when you're cooking pizza, there are so many variables, right? And with one of those variables of having a longer cook time, your ingredients can tend to dry out. And what does dry cheese look like? Well, if you like grab the cheese and it all kind of sticks together as one piece, that's when you know you may have gone too far. Now, some people do like that, right? There's a huge cult following for New Haven style pizza. And I'm not saying that their pizza cheese like sticks together in one piece, but it's definitely on the darker side, brown side, but that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
And so figure out what kind of pizza you want, and just like, I recommend taking notes. Have a dough journal and have a baking journal all in one, and say, okay, I baked this for 5 minutes. It was a little pale. Let's go six. Oh, I baked this for 6 minutes. It's looking good. Maybe I can go longer. 7 minutes. Oh, way too dark. Let's go 6:30. Bingo. Sweet spot. And so just know that pizza making is a journey, as cheesy as it sounds, but really it's about iteration and patience, because a lot of the times you're not going to knock it out of the park on the first shot. I applaud you if you do, but then try doing it back to back.
That's good advice in general in life, but it's also good advice just in the kitchen, no matter what you're making. I tell that to home cooks too. It's like, you're never going to make something perfect the first time. And if you do, I don't know how many times I've just improvised something. I'm like, that's really good. And then a week later, I go to make it again, and I'm certain, positive, I did it the exact same way. And I'm like, this isn't very good. What did I do wrong? Right? I'm like, it just, you know, maybe I was in a right mood the first time, or, you know, maybe I had good company, whatever it was the first time, you know, but the second time it didn't work. And maybe if I had taken it down. I'm bad at taking notes now. I improvise a lot, and then I never take notes. And then, like you said, like a week or 10 days later, I'm like, what now? What was in that? What did I do? And then I try to write it down, and the muse is gone. But But no, that's good advice. If you're going to get serious about getting deep into a particular dish or cuisine, I think, you know, keeping track of what you're doing. Some people do that on a blog, right? They'll start a blog and they'll take notes and track their journey that way. Some people do it in a spiral notebook on their countertop, and that works too, or their iPad or whatever. So that's very good advice.
Whatever works, yeah.
Yeah. So, Idriff, where can we find you? We already mentioned whatsgooddough.com up at the top of the interview, but do you have any socials or anything else, or anywhere else you want to send people for that matter? We can put them in the show notes and let them know about it.
Well, if you are a fan of podcasts, you can find me on any of your major platforms and on YouTube. I find that watching podcasts on YouTube are very fun. At least those are my listening and viewing behaviors. So check out the YouTube channel. You can find all of that information on my website, including the dough recipe, which I will tweak a little bit just for this audience, because I want you all to succeed making pizza. And if you do try out the dough recipe, I'd love to hear your feedback, and I'd love to help you work through things if you need me. Who knows? You may just knock it out of the park and be like, ah, got this. But if you don't, I'm here to help.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's great. I appreciate the offer to help folks out if they need it. And we'll get all the links and stuff in the show notes over to your blog and your recipe and all that good stuff. So Idriff, thanks for coming on the show. It was fantastic. Love talking pizza with you. I feel like I'm empowered now to try pizza again. Not like I don't try pizza, but you know, like once a month I'll make a pizza and it's like, yeah, it was okay. I'm just going to order out next time.
Nothing wrong with that. I love ordering out. Before we end, maybe you can share your last experience making pizza, because it sounds like you did try it and then you were like,
well, part of it. So I've got an 11-year-old at home and I'm married. So pizza adventures these days are generally like, what can we make that we know our son will like? And pizza is one of those things. And we usually do takeout. But every once in a while, it's like, let's make some dough. He can make his own pizza, make it whatever he wants it to be. And, you know, in our conversation, the two things to me are like, we just make a dough. We don't get fancy. You know, we don't really get into it and make it hydrated, you know, whatever. So we probably cut corners on the dough a little bit as far as just putting time into it. And then the baking. Like I've got pizza stones, but I'll tell you what, this is a terrible admission, but I use them like 10% of the time I make pizzas, just because it's like, oh, I forgot to put it in the oven, or, oh, it's under like 8 things on the shelf out there. Just put it on a cookie sheet. That's good enough. You know what I mean?
Hopefully after this conversation, you'll consider just leaving the pizza stone in the oven. It may work for you. It may not. But also, I am a huge, huge fan of making pizza with your kids. I just had a newborn, and every month we try to make dough together, quote unquote, make dough. But I hope to continue this little tradition, play dough, right? And I think if the dough is stopping you from having that great bonding experience with your child, maybe it's too much work to make dough and you just want to like top it, put some cheese on it and throw it in the oven. Totally doable. Go to your favorite pizzeria, call them in advance and say, hey, will you sell me a dough ball? Whew. You can't imagine like how willing they are to not only sell you that dough ball, but also tell you how to use it. And you can go at it like go in between busy hours and just spark up a conversation with a pizza person. The fact that you are taking an interest in making pizza will likely bring them joy, because pizza people are like the happiest people in the world and they're willing to share their craft. There should be no secrets in pizza. And so take the easy way out, buy the dough and just have that activity with your family. It's so much fun.
That's really good advice, to go to call a pizza place and see if they'll sell you some dough. I had never thought about that before, because I know some grocery stores sell it, right, in their deli or whatever. And I don't know, it's probably fine. But going to a pizza place, that's pretty brilliant advice. I'm gonna have to try that, because that would probably make life easier on a weeknight pizza night.
I've done it before, and I also will say on the grocery dough, I haven't done that myself, but I know of friends who have done it. And if you're going to buy it, the thing is you don't know how far into its shelf life It is?
Yes.
And so, yeah, go support a local business and, you know, make some friends.
Idriff, thank you so much. I appreciate all this. A lot of fun.
Thanks, Roger. I appreciate you having me on and letting me talk pizza. I appreciate it.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Idriff. As you can tell, he's really into pizza. He's got a lot of good advice. I, for one, and I'm not just saying this, but I really am looking into the whole baking steel thing. I think I mentioned in our chat that, yeah, I have pizza stone or two and things like that. I never really use them, but the whole baking steel concept is really appealing to me. So I've already been online looking them up. I'm loved his advice about just finding a steel manufacturer if you have one nearby. We probably all don't, and seeing if you can get some steel discounted like that. But even on Amazon, I was just searching, and it seems like you can get some pretty decent baking steels for around $50 or so. Or your local kitchen supply store, of course, would be a good place to stop by and check out if you're interested in that. But next time I make a homemade pizza from dough on up, I'm definitely going to try the baking steel method and see how it works. I think it could be the next best thing for me anyway to getting a dedicated pizza oven. I just don't make enough pizza at home to warrant a pizza oven. And then I can rationalize and say, like, well, if you got a pizza oven, you probably make a lot more pizza at home. But I rationalize myself into a lot of things that way, and it never really works out like I imagine. So that's something for the future when I'm independently wealthy and I have a giant backyard where I can have all these extra fancy, you know, food making accessories. I'll get my pizza oven then. In the meantime, baking steel it is. Idriff, thanks once again for coming on the show. Great to talk to you. Had a lot of fun. Please, folks, head over to his website, whatsgooddough.com. Check out his podcast, all that good stuff. So Idriff, looking forward to the day we can chat about pizza again. I'll keep you posted about how my pizza experimenting goes at home. Also, don't forget to head over to southernfood.org and check out the Nitty Grits Network. All this talk about pizza not only is making me hungry for pizza, but it's kind of making me thirsty. So maybe go check out Must or Mash. That's that podcast I mentioned where they have debates about what's better, beer or wine. It's a lot of fun if that's your thing. There's other great shows on the network too, so I'm sure you'll be able to find something that tickles your palate. And last but not least, thanks again for listening to this episode. I appreciate you hanging out, spending a little bit of time with me as we get into the kitchen, learn some things, have some fun, talk to some cool people. It really does mean a lot. Spread the word if you think other folks would get value out of my little podcast here on this corner of the internet. Please let them know about it, how they can find it, and how they can listen to it. I really appreciate that. All right, everybody. Have a wonderful day. I hope you're going to get in the kitchen and cook something really soon. But until next time that we speak, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.